verse number 19. So I hear you flipping pages. I will be patient, which is not my virtue, and I will never pray for it. Amen. John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. The title of the message this morning is The Mission Has Not Changed. Let's pray, dear Father, we love you. We thank you for first loving us. And dear God, I just ask that you give it us. Special portion of your grace to my dear friend, Brother Ricky Cothran. For I love him dearly. He's a dear friend, dear Lord. And I just ask you to give him comfort and grace during a very difficult time. For I just ask you to be with the rest of the family during their time of bereavement, dear God. And just be with Brother Ricky as he preaches the funeral. Be with his brother as he helps out, dear Lord. And I just ask that you just give them the grace knowing you can provide many other prayer requests we mentioned today and some not mentioned. Just answer all according to your will. There will be our nation, be our leaders, be our military, be our missionaries. We thank you for visitors. We thank you for members. Meet with us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I believe that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize our world's in a mess. And, the Bible tells us that things are going to wax worse and worse. Well, they're certainly waxing worse and worse. And I believe it's at times like these when we tend to start fretting and worrying. And, as I was reading this portion of Scripture, I had a great thought that this is probably the way these guys felt if it was like it was today whenever they're meeting here. And I want to give you some things this morning to try to help you. But we must remember our mission. No matter what's going on, we got to remember that anything that Satan can allow to happen in our life to distract us from what God wants us to do, he's going to do. You've already been victorious this morning because you came to church. Satan didn't want you to come to church this morning. Now you can allow Satan to be victorious now, but by not listening or paying attention, because Satan doesn't want you to listen and pay attention because he knows you'll get something out of the Word of God. And so I just ask that you'd walk out of here victoriously today. No need in getting all dressed up, driving to church, and then not getting anything out of it. Amen. You ought to get something out of it. Amen. You ought to at least smile while you're here. Act like you're enjoying a wee bit. Amen. I know some of you are tarred. You stayed up and watched Mississippi State last night, and I think it was really, really, I think it was really mean of Brother Ralph to wear his LSU colors this morning with all of you guys in mourning. And so I'm taking your side with that situation, and even got folks leaving because I'm talking about Mississippi State losing. I'm sorry. Didn't mean for it to be that way. But the bottom line is I want to help you this morning. I want to give you four quick points. We must remember our mission. Number one is the misery. Notice what verse 19 says here. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews. You know, this is a very different time than it was a few weeks earlier. Remember, they're probably in the upper room once again. And if we were to go over to Acts, you remember when they were in the upper room before, what were they doing? Man, they were united, they were rejoicing, they were praying, and they were having revival. Amen? But now they think Jesus is dead and Jesus is gone, and they think, man, the world's a mess. And now they are in the same place where they've seen revival take place, where they've seen miracles take place, where they've seen people get saved, and they're miserable. Kind of like some folks at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Seen miracles take place, seen blessings take place, seen God do miraculous and wonderful things, but because of the circumstances and situations of the day, misery has come upon them. And here they are in the place where they've seen great things happen, but they're not remembering those great things. They saw miracles take place, but they've forgotten about the miracles. They were praying, but here it doesn't say anything about them praying. And you know, that's the way we are a lot of times whenever valleys come in our life. All the things that we know to do, all the things that we used to do, we all of a sudden quit doing. It amazes me how many folks will go through a trial and the first thing they do is they quit going to church. They quit praying. Amazing, isn't it? Amen. Whenever we're in a trial, that's the place we need to be the most. But we also got to do the things we need to do. They were where they needed to be, but they were not doing what they needed to be doing. That's where we get a lot of times in our Christian life, isn't it? Let's be honest. I told you a few weeks ago we ought to come to church, what, expecting more. You're going to get what you expect. If you're expecting nothing, you'll probably get nothing. If you're expecting a ho-hum service, you'll probably get a ho-hum service. But the bottom line is this, and somebody tweeted that, I thought it was pretty neat. But the misery, not only the misery, but notice the next thing, the midst. Notice what the Lord says. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Can I tell you something? The Lord's always in the midst if you're saved. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trials are in your life, no matter what circumstances are not going your way, the Lord is still right there. He promised you He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And He says here, listen, I want to give you peace. I'm right here. And you know what? He had given them promise after promise. He said, listen, you know what? I'm never going to leave you empty-handed. I'm always going to be right there. He says, listen, I don't break promises. He said, if I leave, I'm going to send a comforter to be with you. You'll never be alone. But you know what? They allowed the circumstances and the situations of the time to make them miserable. It's easy for us to do today, isn't it? I'm convinced of this. The most discriminated people in the United States of America today are Christians. Amen? You know, and the bottom line is, you know, we've heard all about, you know, Kim Davis and all this stuff that's going on, and you have people on different sides and everything like this, but you can't allow one law to supersede another law. Amen? You know, the bottom line is there's a way to work that out. But you see, the other side doesn't want to work out things with Christians. And you know, I get so tired, and that's not because of my pastor, it's just because I know true history. Whether you're here today and whether you love the Lord or not, whether you're saved or not, the bottom line is this. The United States of America was founded as a Christian nation. If you don't know that, you don't know history. The reason they left England was to get out from underneath the Anglican Church, which was a Catholic religion, basically. So it wasn't even started as a religious nation. It was started as a Christian nation. I mean, you study it. You read every piece of legislation that's ever been passed, the Magna Carta. If you read the charters of every state, if you read the Declaration of Independence, if you read the Constitution of the United States of America, they all talk about us being a Christian nation under God. I mean, you can't change history. You can rewrite it, you can absolve it, and you can ignore it, but you cannot change it. And you say, preacher, why are you saying this? Well, it's just like the same principles the foundations have been made. They've been made for these guys. Listen, they saw what God could do. But all of a sudden, they forgot. Kind of like some of us this morning. We're in a valley, and we've forgotten. We're discouraged, and we've forgotten. You know, there's many times I can walk in here and say, man, Lord, why aren't we growing? Why don't we have more folks in here? Is it my fault? Am I doing something wrong? Is it time for a change here? And I ask myself that question every day. Because I want what's best for Lighthouse Baptist Church. I want God to do great things here. I've seen God do great things here. And I want God to continue to do great things here. I still believe He can. He did Wednesday night. A lot of you don't know everything to win the Wednesday night service, but some of you do. But man, there have been some prayer going up all day long about a specific situation, about a specific person, and that person came, and that person got saved. That's just God. It didn't just happen. We got out of it what we put into it. But a lot of times, it's the mindset. And that's where we go next, the mindset. Notice what he says in verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Notice the next word, and man, this is where it really got me. Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Why weren't they glad when they saw Him to begin with? Why did He have to reprove Himself? But He has to do that with us all the time. You think about it, here they are, they're locked up. They're scared. Or Alabama, they're scared. They're scared. The same place they had seen miracles take place, revival take place, folks saved, lives changed. And I get the picture. They were there. Man, it tells it that the Holy Ghost rests upon them. I mean, it filled the place. Remember that? And now it's almost like they're sitting in the corner sucking their thumbs, trembling in fear. And then the Lord shows up. But they weren't glad. He had to prove something He'd already proven before. Who He was. Great truth here. I want to help you. In our deepest, darkest hour, when He wants to show us who He really is when we say, "Prove it, Lord." Yes. And we should never say that.
Amen.
You see, if you read this the way I read this and you get out of what God gave to me, notice He shows up, says, "Peace be with you." They heard Him speak. They knew who He was. Amen?
Amen?
You can never hear the Lord speak and not know who it is. But their countenance and demeanor did not change until He said and showed them His hands and feet. And after He shows them His hands and side, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Why weren't they glad in the previous verse? They had already seen Him. Same reason we're not glad with Him sometimes. We've forgotten who He is. We've forgotten what He's done in the past. We've forgotten what He's done for us. And we've forgotten all the promises that He's given us in this book.
Amen.
I know it's a very simple truth, but man, I'm here to tell you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And notice what the Lord has to say, the mindset, and in the mission. Notice what He says out there. Then said Jesus to them again. Didn't He already say this? Peace be unto you. That's what He said in verse 19. But you know why He had to say it again? Because that's how much He loves us. He didn't say, "Listen, y'all should have got excited when I walked in the room." He said, "Listen, you should have known who I was when I spoke to you." He said, "Listen, let me show you who I am." Y'all not getting this? Can I tell you what He wants to do in some of our lives this morning? He wants to show us who He is. Because we need a reminder. Because somewhere along the line, we've gotten in the valley and we've forgotten that God's even good in the valley. We've gotten discouraged. We've gotten downtrodden. And we've allowed the cares of this world to overwhelm us. We've allowed the tribulations and the trials to take our joy. I'm here to tell you this morning, He is still God. He has not changed. He has not descended from the throne. He has not quit loving you. He's still God this morning. Amen. And if you're saved, that ought to excite you. Amen. If you're saved, just nod your pumpkin head, all right? You ought to be excited He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You ought to be excited that you and I were on our way to hell. But praise God, heaven came down after Jesus came down. And after Jesus ascended to a cross, we're going to ascend to heaven one day all because of what God's done for us. On visitation yesterday, except every other service. Isn't technology wonderful? And the folks on the live stream and in the radio broadcast will think, man, the preacher died in the middle of the message, amen. He got too excited, had a coronary. But we're on visitation yesterday, and I knocked on this door, and I heard a sound. It sounded like someone that's really, really, really elderly. And it sounded like they were maybe dragging a foot or something. But when he opened the door, it was a 39-year-old young man. But I could tell something was amiss, and we began to talk. He told me his name, and he had just moved here from Baltimore, Maryland. And he said, "The reason I moved here is I was involved in a really bad motorcycle accident." He said, "I wasn't supposed to live." He said, "But as you can see, it's affected me." And he started telling me everything that happened. I won't tell you all that, but you could tell his body, he'd had a motorcycle accident. I'll just put it that way. And I began to speak to this man and, you know, tell him who I was and where I was from and what we were doing. "Thank you so much, sir. Those LSU colors look phenomenal." And I asked him, I said, "Darryl, I said, are you 100% certain If you would have passed away on that motorcycle, you would have gone to heaven. His response is a response I hear many, many times. He says, I think I would have. I said, why do you think so? And he said, I try to be a good person. I try to do the right things. And I try to be a good husband and a good father. It's shutting off again. I'm just going to stay on this one. Put me back. There you go. It's tough preaching sometimes. But I started talking to this fellow, and that's just the devil, amen. We won't let him get the victory. And he said, and after I talked to him for a while, and he told me all those things, I said, Darrell, I'm not trying to offend you. All those are good things. I said, but would you like to know how the Bible can let you know how you can know for certain you're on your way to heaven? He looked at me, and you know what he said? He said, I'm not sure I have time. I'm cooking. And right when he said that, I just prayed a short prayer, dear God, please open his heart. And I looked at him again. I said, Darrell, look at me. And you know how people just kind of halfway look at you. I said, no, look at me. He said, you got demanded in you. I did. And he looked at me and I said, don't you have just a few minutes where I can show you from the Bible how the Lord spared your life and gave you this opportunity in Columbus, Mississippi after moving here from Baltimore, Maryland? I said, that's not a chance. That's not luck. That's God. And he said, you know what? You're right. I got a few minutes. He said, come in. To make a long story short, he asked me several questions, but I said, listen, I want to go through the plan of salvation. I went through it with him. I said, Darrell, would you like to pray and ask the Lord to save? He said, no. I just kind of looked at him. He said, wait a minute. I said, okay. He said, I'll be right back. And I watched him as he basically pulled himself toward the back. And he came walking around the corner with a little boy named Sidney, about 8 years old. Big tears welled up in his eyes. He said, my son needs to hear this too. So I went through the plan of salvation with Darrell and Sidney, his son. And right there in their living room of their home, Daddy and son bow their head and ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart, life, and save them. And I tell you, the mission hasn't changed. There's still people that you know that need the Lord. There's people that you were with this weekend and maybe you didn't have the right testimony. And they need the Lord. As I walked away and I looked at Darrell, I said, Darrell, aren't you glad you had a few minutes? And tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, yes, sir, I sure am. But then he stopped me and he said, you this. He said, you know what? He said, if I would have died in Baltimore on that motorcycle because I had been mistaught, I would have gone to hell. I stood there as the bus was waiting because he closed the door, and I just had to think about how surreal that moment was. And I thought about how it must have made him feel to know that he was that close. How about you? How about your friends? How about your family? How about those you were with this weekend? The mission hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. Our mindset has. Lastly, I want to give us the mission, and I'm done. Short message, but then said Jesus to them again, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things, I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you how wicked I am. A lot of things I'd rather do on Saturday than go out and tell folks about Jesus sometimes. But then whenever you have the opportunity to meet a Daryl and a Sydney, you realize what's most important. I just wanted to give you a simple reminder this morning. This is not a Sunday morning message. It's more of a church message. And we have a bunch of visitors, and I hope you understand my heart. We're glad you're here this morning, visitor. The number one thing we want to show you while you're here is we want to show you Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world that'll help you like He will. There's no one that'll stick by you like He will. There's no one that can pick you up like He can. There's no one that'll answer your prayers like He will. There's no one that can intercede for you except for Him. There's no one that can usurp His authority. It's Him. God couldn't send anybody else. It had to be Jesus. This morning, I just want you to know Him this morning. And those of us that know Him, our mission hasn't changed. This week, every one of us will run into somebody like Daryl, like Sydney, 8 years old, and after he prayed, he looked up at me, a big smile came across his face. I said, Sydney, can I ask you a question now? He said, yes, sir. I said, if Jesus Christ came back right now, where would you go? He said, I'd go to heaven. Amen. And I said, Sydney, how you know that? He said, because I just asked Jesus to save me. Daryl's bending over, looking at his son, tears dripping onto his son's head. And I said, Daryl, where are you going? He couldn't even talk. He just pointed up. Can I tell you, our mission hasn't changed. The world may be a mess. Some of our lives may be a mess. But He's still in the midst. He's still there. Don't ever forget it. The mission has not changed. You're here this morning. You know you're saved. Remind yourself the mission's still the same. You're here this morning. You're not 100% sure of your salvation. We beg you to come. We'll get someone to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. You're here this morning. Maybe you've been saved and you haven't been baptized. You need to get baptized. Maybe you're here, you're saved, and you've been baptized. Maybe you felt this would be the church that God would have you be a part of. Listen, we just want you to allow God to have His will in your life. Heads, bowed, eyes closed, everyone standing together.